I think you need to find your fuck you moment and say fuck you back to either me or you or whatever you're going through or the thing that they put you through. You need that fuck you moment.
Today on Greatest Stories Never Told, we have the amazing Nicole Arbour. Nicole has over 1 billion views.
I'm Nicole Arbour, China. Okay, I get why he does that. That's pretty fun.
On her videos online, she is freaking hilarious.
Got my Kesha hair today. You don't know if this is hairspray or semen.
She's a social media superstar who has had an amazing personal journey coming from a hospital bed to the Greatest Stories Never Told stage. So excited to have Nicole here. She's coming up right now. Nicole!
Hi!
Welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So I discovered your work because my wife kept telling me, you got to see this girl. She's so funny. And your videos have been, you know, viralistic.
Yeah.
Some of them talking smack. Some of them making laughs. More of them talking smack about different topics, which as a smack talker myself, I was like, yeah, this girl gets me.
Thanks.
So I was just telling Nicole that when she was here talking pre-episode, I had one of those little celebrity moments because I was so used to hearing her voice on the screen, watching her videos. And here she is with us today.
Hi.
Boom.
Jeez, I'm so excited.
Yeah,
we just, like,
me too.
We've barely met and we just chatted for like an awesome 30 minutes. It was like a full episode of somebody else's show.
Right.
We already just did it.
Yes.
The show before the show.
And it was a good show.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to leak some of that in here and splice it so it looks like it was part of this show.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
It kind of was. What has to happen for it to technically be part of a show?
I guess we just have to put it in.
All right.
We did it.
Yes, I feel like we just made our own version of the movie Inception.
We did.
Part two, even better.
It's a butterfly.
Yeah. Nicole, take me back, all right?
Here we go.
So I've heard bits and pieces of your story.
Yeah.
Along with your 9-minute personal expose you just did, where we're going to talk about that too. But starting back, you know, your childhood, were you the class clown or were you shy or were you kicked out of school for being outrageous or what was your upbringing?
You're reading my brain. Well, yeah, I've always been a little entertainer. I was one of those little Star Search kind of kids.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
pageants?
Totally. No pageants,
okay.
But dancing. Lots of dancing,
oh, yeah?
Every kind. I was in musicals. I was in professional musicals since I was a kid.
Oh, damn.
And I was just always like, huh? Like, I just loved people. I loved performing. My parents were so embarrassed because I went around the neighborhood and invited everyone to my show in the backyard when I was probably like 5 or 6.
Oh, wow.
And sold tickets to my neighbors.
Hell yeah.
For like 5 and 10 cents.
So you were like a little entrepreneur entertainer.
Oh, yeah.
Young, and then they all showed up. P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that is amazing.
And then they all showed up at my, like, my backyard and my parents were like, what's going on? And my mom was mad and wanted me to give the money back. And I'm like, no, I'm putting on a show. And I had them all sit in the lawn chairs and I put on a show and I took my grandma's nickel and I choreographed the other kids in the neighborhood in
no
my show.
Way.
Dead serious. Like, looking at it now, I'm like, that's weird. If I saw a little kid doing that.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Okay, I have a kind of similar experience.
Go on.
When I was a kid, I went to all the neighbor kids and I had them all bring their pets over and put them on my front lawn and stand by their like dog or cat or fish in a bowl.
Yeah.
And then I went and charged the adults to come see the zoo. And the adults had to give a dollar to come walk through the zoo of all the neighborhood pets.
I would do that now.
Yeah.
That's so fun. I'd come to your zoo.
But I never met anyone else who put on an actual event in the neighborhood as a kid. I don't know how old I was when I did the zoo, but yeah.
I totally did that. And like, I had my sister, she was cuter. She was a little bit younger. I had her put on like the cutest little bathing suit she had and stand out front and sell lemonade. And
no.
I told her to go change. I'm like, go change. Put on the cute bikini with the frills.
Oh, wow.
I just knew.
You just knew how the world worked.
Yeah.
You know?
And put on the shows and did the things. And as I was...
The upsell.
The upsell.
The concession stand is where
one.
The money's made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get out of there. Do your job. And she's like, I just want to go swimming. I'm like, shut up. It was cool. But then as I got older, I stayed in musical theater and dancing and all that kind of stuff. And
okay.
I was always getting in trouble for being a smartass.
Ah, were you into comedy when you were performing as a child? Or was it more...
I got a musical theater solo when... I just wanted like a jazz solo or a tap solo or what like all the other kids had. And I was the only one who this teacher, who was this award-winning crazy ass teacher, was like, I think you're a ham and you're going to do a musical theater solo.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what is that? What is a ham? Like, I didn't understand, but it did really well. And I started realizing that in class all the time, I was the kid making everybody laugh. And I'd say the funny things, I'd find the funny things. My whole family's hilarious. And we just always kind of said the stuff that other people wouldn't say, and then everyone would laugh. Mm. And it kept going from there.
Yeah, and that is kind of your brand now, I would say, is saying the things that other people won't say.
Yeah, it's kind of silly that I make a living off telling the truth when we all pretend that we do. You know, it's like, why did the truth become offensive? Mm. And why did telling it become offensive when we all pretend that we're authentic? But I'll take it. Yeah. If my niche is being honest, I'll take it. It's fun.
Nice.
And then after that kind of stuff, like even in high school, I was always in trouble. Like, especially grade school, I'd get in trouble because I'd ask questions.
Okay.
In a private Catholic school, they'd be like, oh yeah. They'd be like, being gay is bad. I was taught that. And I was like, how about what happens with the priests and the altar boys? Because I've heard stories. And I'd get kicked out of class.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Like, I would just say the things, ask the questions.
Yeah, yeah.
And when one teacher threw a Bible at my head in high school because she kept saying that being gay was wrong. And there was this dude in my class who was so obviously gay. He just didn't come out. He was my friend. Mm-hmm. So I was like, F this ish. I did my whole independent study for the whole year on all the mentions of homosexuality in the Bible. And I found hundreds.
No way.
And I gave her a binder this thick. And when I put it down for my final mark for her to mark it, she just knocked it off the table and wouldn't even look at it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was just like, yeah. And then I got kicked out of class and whatever. I would just get kicked out a lot for just pushing the envelope and asking the questions and being like, this doesn't seem right. And I'm going to ask you questions until you tell me why it's right. Just, I guess I've always been a renegade.
Love that.
Yeah.
And then after high school, did you go to college?
I did go to college. Funny story is I got into universities and colleges for acting, dancing, like scholarships for both.
Okay.
Political science, because little known fact, I was junior prime minister of Canada.
What?
Yeah, I know, it's like 99% of the world doesn't know that. And when I was 18, here's another thing.
Do you know Justin Trudeau personally? Do you guys have each other on speed dial?
Not on speed dial yet. Yet. We'll meet.
Justin Bieber, I know you are really close with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're Canadian. All Canadians are best friends.
Yeah. All Canadians.
Yeah. So it's like me, Drake, Bieber. We're just like, caca. And we come running.
Yeah. Yeah. Kylie Rae Jepsen.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I do know her. Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah.
All right.
An old buddy of mine wrote Call Me Maybe with her.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That song did.
That would be a starstruck moment for me if I met him or her.
Really? I'll just hook you up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Can you give her my number and tell her, call me?
Maybe.
Pun intended?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, I will. I'll link you up. Those writers they're killer.
Love it. Okay.
That's funny.
So you went to...
We're going to go like this. I hope you're ready.
Yeah, we're going to fly all over. This is how it goes.
So...
Yeah, and sometimes it stops.
Okay.
At weird moments where it doesn't always necessarily feel like a stop should be.
Okay.
And then we just keep going again.
That's life.
So let's go.
That was a great, yeah.
Thank you.
Actually,
no, let's go.
Political?
Stop. Okay, let's go.
Good game. So political stuff. This is one of those things, every time I'm told I can't do something, I'm like, bitch, I'm going to do it the best then. And I had a teacher not let me apply for this thing. It was called Forum for Young Canadians. Basically like a PAGE type program for Senate or something like that in America.
Okay, and a PAGE in American, wait, in Canadian, that's like American for apprentice?
Yeah, so something that you guys work like in your version of the House of Commons or in the Senate, but you're younger and you'd be working there.
It's called a PAGE.
It's called a PAGE in Canada.
Got it.
I don't know what it's called here.
Okay.
But the teacher, basically the smartest kids from every school in Canada got to apply. See if they got to go to this big forum where everyone works in the political sciences for a certain amount of time.
Okay.
And then they vote people into positions. And they said, no, little cheerleader, you're darling. You're not one of the people who would ever be put forward from this school. And I was like, why? And it was just the super nerds only. Every school was only allowed to nominate a couple people.
Okay.
And they said straight up, no.
Because you weren't nerdy enough?
I was head cheerleader. I did the announcements in the morning. I was on the volleyball team. I was just not what they wanted.
You were too much, maybe. Too big of a
Let's
personality?
Go for that. Yeah.
You think?
For real,
though.
Big personality, but they also had this vision of what cheerleaders were in their head.
Ah, okay, yeah. Got it.
So I was like, well, Legally Blonde moment. If Elle Woods taught me anything, I'm going to get to Harvard. So I found a loophole in the process. I read through all the rules, and I was allowed to apply as an independent if my principal signed the paper.
An independent as in not a Republican or a Democrat?
As in not coming from a high school nominated from my teacher.
Ah, gotcha.
So
okay.
I appealed to my principal at my school, a pretty big school, like 2,500 kids. Mm. And I was like, I want to apply for this thing. I'm going to do it independently. Mm. And he's like, all right, just get out of my office, signed it. And instead of writing a giant essay, I wrote a top 10 list like the late shows did of why they need me there. And I got in on a scholarship.
Sweet.
And then I eventually got voted in and whatever. I was junior prime minister. Yeah.
So there's all those funky laws in Canada, you helped make some of those.
I actually, for real life, I helped pass one.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Should I tell you now or no?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. The one law that I actually have been part of was I was roofied multiple times in my life. And one time I was at a bar and they told us that the girls, we all had to leave our drinks with the security guard before we go into the bathroom. And I always felt sketchy about that because you're supposed to watch your drink. So why can't I take it into the bathroom with me? I come out of the bathroom. The security guard was supposed to be watching it, and I could see my straw spinning. And I just went. I'd been roofied multiple times already. I just looked across the bar to see who was watching, what guy was looking at my drink.
Yeah.
And I saw who it was, and I walked over and I punched him. And I told security to get their asses over there.
Wow.
They searched him. He had a whole bunch of pills on him.
Oh, shit.
Like, I just, like, Terminator caught it. And I talked to the owner of that club, and I was like, you're never making girls leave their drinks again. You were supposed to watch them. You didn't. And I worked with a couple different club owners, and we actually helped pass the legislation that you don't have to leave your drink. So most girls don't even know that. But in Canada, especially Ontario, you don't have to leave your drink anymore. You can take it with you.
Wow. What was the reason for not letting people bring their drinks in the first place?
I think they think you're going to put more liquor in it.
Oh, from your own bag or something.
But
okay.
There's so much going on in a club, like security's watching it, or sometimes there's no liquor license in stairwells. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
But now you're allowed to bring it.
Wow.
You just have to cite.
Well done.
Cite it. Yeah. This is so random already. You're getting so many random stories.
What was your punch of choice?
What was my?
Like, did you literally punch the dude in the face?
I did. I've punched people a few times in my life.
Okay.
And this was like an actual shirt grab punch. And then I was like, wow, I didn't know I knew how to do that.
How old were you at this point?
Probably 23.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wild.
But I'm glad that happened.
Yeah. So
I switched it.
So you were in high school when you became in the Page program.
Yeah. I ended up in the political spectrum.
Okay.
And I was offered scholarships as long as I would turn into the Liberal Party in Canada. I would have rides for them to pay for my university. And I just had to go into politics after. And I went, let me think about this. Couple days before I was going to go off and do like acting or dancing for university, my friend had her college book and I was trying to help her pick courses because she had no direction in life, didn't know what she wanted to do. And I saw something that said the Humber School of Comedy, and I saw a visual light bulb come in front of my face, and it was like, you're supposed to do this. And it was like full body chills.
Oh.
Nicole, you're a comedian.
And you were 17, 18?
I was 18.
And you knew then?
I knew.
Oh, wow.
I just went, this is what I'm supposed
cool.
to do.
Okay.
And my parents were like, no, you're not. They're like, you're not funny. Hell no. You're going to university. You're getting a degree. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be a comedian. And they're like, no. So they made me a deal that I could audition, but they're going to talk to the heads of the program. And these are the people who started SCTV and Second City. And they fed all the people into SNL, the original SNL.
Okay.
Like Eugene Levy is on the board. And it's a cool, weird little rogue school. And my parents said, if they say that you're talented in this, then we'll discuss it. And I went and did my audition. And the dean spoke to my mom. And then I got a partial scholarship. So I was like, I'm a comedian.
Sweet.
Yeah. And then a couple weeks later, I was performing at comedy clubs.
And this is like a comedy college or something?
It's comedy college.
How long is the...
2 years.
2 years, okay.
Yeah, so
it's... And you learn stand-up and...
Stand-up, like... sketch, script writing, writing for movies, the history of comedy.
Oh, wow.
Pratfalls, Commedia dell'arte.
Do they have that in the United States or is this...
No.
That
this
sounds
is
awesome.
The only school like it in
Amazing.
The world. And it was in like a real college too.
Okay.
But we're this weird comedy program.
Yeah.
But there's like firefighters and police and all these real things, and then there's like the comedy students.
Whoa. Like, what yeah. city was this in?
Toronto.
No way.
Humber
okay.
College.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sweet.
It was so fun.
And then were you putting out content then, or was this like pre-MySpace days?
This was pre. Definitely pre.
Okay.
And
so then Toronto Raptors while you were performing stand-up at clubs, or were you doing sketch, or what type of things were you doing after you graduated? Okay.
Yeah, I was literally running from the Raptors games. Mm-hmm. I'd throw on my zip-up and sprint like six blocks to Yuck Yucks at the time in downtown Toronto.
Okay.
And do a set. And I was doing sets six, seven times a week.
Oh,
but
wow.
I'd be sprinting from the games and back and forth.
And how was it in the clubs? Were you polished from college, or did you have nights where you bombed, or
I never bombed. Mm. I've never like full bombed, because I could always save it somehow.
Okay.
Like, I've had shitty sets. Like, everybody's had a shitty set, or they're a liar.
Yeah, but you haven't gotten booed off of stage. Or...
No.
Okay.
And I had people throw me in situations before. A manager, old manager, threw me on a Nubian night, like an all-black comedy night on purpose, and didn't tell me. And it was like an Apollo type night.
Okay.
And they just told me where I had to be, what time my set was, here's my rate, whatever. And I show up and I'm like, oh, that's why they didn't tell me. And it was one of my best shows ever.
Oh, amazing.
I love that crowd. That crowd tells you if they like you right away. Like, there's no, you don't have to wonder. They will tell you. I like that about people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're honest like you, telling the truth.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they make noise. Like, they'll hit the tables. Mm. They'll, like, it's not just like a polite white people crowd. It's not like, oh, ha ha ha, you're funny. It's like, bah!
Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
They're choking their friend. They're like, they're just fucking
that's
in
when
it.
You know it's a really good joke.
They're murdering. No, just kidding. That's rude. No one murders anybody at my shows, except for me, hopefully, to the crowd.
Right.
Does that make sense?
But in a loving way.
A loving way.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a loving kill.
Like you're killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Nice.
I'm so excited to go back to stand-up. That's something I will be doing in
the
year.
Where did you go? Tell me what happened next.
Wow, there's so much story to tell. So I was doing the whole Yuck Yucks thing. I ended up on, and like tons of stand-up. And I ended up on a show, on a couple different shows. And one was on Much Music in Canada, which is our version of MTV. And it was kicking ass. It was our top comedy show in the country.
Oh, wow.
And
so were you like kind of famous in Canada then?
I was, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for Canada, totally.
Was that interesting to have people recognize you walking down the street and all that stuff? Or
I felt really cool. Yeah. And like when you're like in your, still in my early 20s, I felt really freaking cool. I could get into all the clubs. I was getting booked for dope tours. People knew who I was, getting sent things. I'm like, whoa, that's, I'm
any
a cool
stalkers?
Person. No. Now, yes. Then,
okay.
And it was all Canadians, so no.
They're too polite?
Yeah. They'd be like, oh, I like you a little. Yeah. I didn't. There's no Canadian stalkers. Mm. So, yeah, everything was amazing. Like, I was really freaking cool, to me at least. Like, all the things that mattered to someone in
the
early
20s. Yeah, your parents
20s.
Were finally happy that you went to the comedy
they
school?
Were, yeah, they were starting to get
cool,
it.
Cool.
I was on a top comedy show. I was getting booked for these live tours right across the country, and they were amazing, and opening for giant bands like Oasis, which was like...
Oh, damn.
I know, right? It was dope. Like, everything I wanted was coming my way, but I had this weird feeling in the back of my head that I wasn't being true to myself. And I was getting caught up in, like, almost the Hollywood of things.
Ah, okay.
And I was changing. Hmm. And I make jokes about it now, but my little sister was like, you're an asshole. What's happening to you? And I was like, I'm not an asshole. She's like, I don't like this. And apparently I was getting too into it. And I just had this weird feeling in the back of my head that these bookings that my agent was giving me, it wasn't in my best interest, it was in their best interest. And things that weren't in line with me moral-wise or just who I am as a person, I just kept doing these bookings because it was money and I was supposed to do it, or I should take this role in this
kind
movie.
Kind of chasing the money and the fame a little bit?
Yeah, just do it because you're cool.
Okay.
And it was like, have you ever heard how like the universe will throw pebbles at you until you listen, and then it'll throw a brick?
Okay.
So that night that I got in the car accident, it was a pebble. I show up at the show. I knew I shouldn't have taken this booking. I had a really bad feeling about it. And while I was there, a gang member came up to me and was like, hey, Nicole, I'm a big fan. Just want to let you know, get out of here by 9 p.m. There's going to be a brawl. See that table over there? They're packing. That table over there, they're going to fight them. Get out of here.
Wow.
And I was like, my set starts at 8:30 and I'm doing an hour. And he's like, get out of here. Do whatever you have to do to get out of here. So I'm on stage and I could see them, like right when I walked up, they started like rustling already. And I pretended that the mic wasn't working. And I just, this gut feeling was so creepy. I pretended that my mic wasn't working. And I was like, sorry, everybody, the mic's not working. 1 second. They tried to fix it. And I just kept being like, I can't do this. Like, the mic's not working. I'm sorry. And I told everybody, like, hey, I'll come back another time. Mm. I just had this weird feeling. I wanted to get out. I leave with my buddy. We go to the ATM, couple blocks down. A car pulls up. We almost got robbed at this freaking ATM. I was just like, something is chasing me tonight. It was like Final Destination, weird, eerie, creepy. I'm at the ATM. This car pulls up. I see them pull up right to me. Right when they're about to get out, my driver's like, get in the car. Jump in the car. I'm like, that was weird. He's like, you almost got robbed. You weren't even looking. I'm like, weird. I was like, this already.
Whoa.
And then we're like, let's go to karaoke. Let's sing some Bye Bye Bye. Let's have a good time. Because I was like, so, like, yeah, this already. Edge. Right when we pull up to karaoke, my friend goes to like pay for our cab and then get hit from behind. And I'm halfway out of the car. So I'm like, my leg is crossed like this as to be a lady.
Okay.
And I'm halfway out of the car and we got rear-ended. And it just, I hit my head 3 times in the door frame.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, if I was a centimeter out more, my leg would have been taken off by the newspaper boxes because we passed 3 of them with the force of the hit.
Whoa.
Like, I was like that close. And then from there, I just remember I looked over at my friend and he was like, are you okay? I'm like, no. Darkness. Like, I don't know if you've ever been hit in the head. I had had concussions, but this, I just knew it was bad. And darkness just rolled in from the sides of my eyes. The guy who hit us came up to the side of the car and was like, you guys are fine, right? Everybody's fine. I'm like, I'm not fine. And then the next thing I remember, there was ambulance. I was getting into the ambulance. I remember my friend going back for my purse. I was in the hospital. They were doing scans on me, tests on me. They said I definitely had a bad concussion. I didn't have anything broken in my neck, but they can't tell yet because I'm swelling.
Mm.
So they sent me home. And, you know, the concussions, like you're throwing up, all these things that happen. But I just knew something else was really wrong. So a couple weeks later, I knew I had a concussion. I come to LA to perform the LA Comedy Festival. And I'm rollerblading with a friend down on the boardwalk, not thinking anything of it, down in Santa Monica. My back's kind of like, ouch, that's weird. My back's a little sore. A couple minutes later, I couldn't walk. My adrenals ran out.
Whoa.
I had injured my back that bad in the accident, but because my head injury was so bad, nobody even paid attention to it. Nobody even checked out my lower back. And because I was twisted, my spine had stabbed into my nerves.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And they didn't even think to, they were just worried about the bones in my neck and my head. And I was like, I couldn't walk. I couldn't even get on a plane to go home to Canada. I had to lay on my friend's couch for like a week. I couldn't go to the bathroom.
Did you go to the hospital?
Yeah, I went to the hospital here.
They just said
drugs.
Lay on a couch?
Yeah.
Drugs?
Yeah. They're like, here's drugs. Like, they're like, oh my God, like your adrenals ran out. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Also, I have a head injury still. I was just trying to do my show because I signed up for it and the performer in me didn't want to cancel.
Yeah.
I performed at the LA Comedy Festival. I have no memory of it whatsoever. I have giant chunks of time. I got nothing.
Whoa.
It didn't even write. Like, I don't remember performing there. I have comics who've come up to me and been like, yeah, we were hanging at the LA Comedy Festival. I'm like, sorry, man, I got nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. And then from there, when I did get back to Canada, it just progressively got worse and worse. I had severe nerve damage in my neck that shoots down my hands. I still have it. Like, well, this hand here, it just automatically goes claw, like on these fingers, because that comes from your neck.
Oh, wow.
But there was severe nerve damage, which turns into insane TMJ that I was clenching in so much pain at night that I was cracking my own teeth in my mouth, and I'd wake up without pieces of my teeth.
Ooh.
I'd swallow my teeth in my sleep.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy, huh? And from there, it just, I didn't get better. I got progressively worse and worse and worse until I ended up on disability. So I went from this show and these bookings and movies coming and all these things that I always wanted to laying in bed. All the friends that I thought were my friends, the cool kids, gone. That was uncomfortable for them to look at. I could barely speak. I couldn't think. I didn't know my address. I remember coming home in a cab one day from a doctor's appointment. I didn't know where I lived to tell them where I lived. I could barely go to the bathroom by myself because the back pain was so bad. And
oh man,
there starts the second act of my life. It was crazy.
Wow. Wow.
Should I just keep going?
Yes.
You're looking
yes.
at me I mean, funny.
How do you? No. It's just wild. And
it is
the
wild.
Fact that you felt something in the air, too. And then, so you were just bedridden, it sounds like, for the most part.
It was like, moved from Toronto. I had a place with my sister, and I had been living with a boyfriend. What a freaking angel when I think of him now. Like, to be, you know, an awesome dude, good-looking guy. We were having so much fun in our 20s. So suddenly your girlfriend is, like, laid out. And he did his best to take care of me. I had a couple guys I dated during that time that I'm like, wow, what awesome human beings. Like, I had crazy mood swings from the head injury, mm-hmm. too, and from physical pain. I would shake and sweat through my sheets every single night. Like, every single day I would sweat through my clothes just from this, from the amount of nerve pain I was in. And they were just so nice to me. They didn't have to be. And eventually it got so bad that I had to move back to Hamilton, where I'm from, living in my grandma's house on the floor, because I was more comfortable laying on a floor than on a bed. And it smelled like cat pee. That's something I'll like never forget, is that smell. Like, the little old cat had definitely peed in that room. And every day was just me waking up, doing some kind of drug, long enough to be awake a little bit, to go to appointments, to go back to sleep for years.
How many years?
2008 to almost 10. Wow. Almost 10. Like, when my video started going 10 viral.
10 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
When my video started going viral, so that was 2015, I had my first viral video. I was still in bed.
You were making the video? You just get from up bed. And make a video? Are you making them in the bed?
Yeah, people didn't know I'd be in my bed.
Shut up.
Yeah, because I could set up the camera. That's how I started doing comedy again. It's like what saved me, is having a purpose again. Because I spent years with no purpose, no happiness, no fulfillment. I would save up all my energy that I had and try and shoot one video or do one thing or one appearance. And then I'd be in bed for 3 weeks after. Just to try and keep up the appearance that I'm not as injured as I am. So hopefully someone would book me for something.
Fascinating.
Yeah, wow. It was really weird. My agents told me to hide that I was hurt, not tell anybody, keep releasing old photos.
Whoa,
yeah,
wow.
It was like a total cover-up.
That's wild.
It was wild, and it was like super hurtful too, because looking back, if I would have let people know what I was going through, I probably could have helped other people along the way.
Yeah.
But
and they could have showed you support.
Yeah.
Instead of just ha ha ha, they could have been like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Like,
I had none of that.
Send you some flowers or something.
Yeah, anything.
Yeah.
You know, just someone else tell me they've gone through this too.
Yeah, yeah.
I had none of it. And my days, every day, for years and years, was medical treatments only. I was given a medicinal marijuana license, and I didn't want to smoke weed. At the time, I'd like never smoked. It was like not a thing I did. Maybe twice in my life before that.
Okay.
And the psychologist was like, Nicole, your nerves are short-circuiting. If you don't smoke some weed, you can't heal because you can't sleep, because I couldn't sleep either. So they forced me on different drugs. I ended up on pills too, which I don't recommend. I'm so against prescription drugs in that way. Obviously, if you're diabetic, take your fucking insulin. I'm not an idiot.
Right.
But in that way, I'm so against psychotropic drugs. Any of those, I went down the entire rabbit hole with those. They're bad. I was in an H&M one day and I saw a dragon, like a full-on dragon.
What?
Which
for
sounds
real?
Awesome, but no, I thought it was real. And all the skulls were all the mannequins were chattering, and they were telling me to kill myself because the pain will never go away. And I was like, that's not me. That's not me. There's another voice in my head telling me to kill myself.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm such an advocate now against those kinds of pills, because a lot of mass shootings, if you trace it back, they were on one of those pills.
Yes, I've read those studies.
Yeah, and yeah. Because I've actually taken a bunch of them.
You see now, they can make you loopy.
Yeah, there's another voice that's not yours in there. It's really creepy. And my boyfriend at the time took me to the hospital right away, and I had a day where I poured out all those pills, and I was like, fuck this.
Oh, wow.
This is your system. This is not my system. It doesn't work.
Wow. So what were the keys for you in getting back to yourself again? I've heard you talk about you found personal growth content back then.
Even like saying this out loud, it's so weird to think that this was my life even a couple of years ago, and I forget.
It's only been that long, huh?
Yeah, I've only been back to life a couple of years.
Oh, dang.
And most people don't know that, or they don't get it, but that's my fault because I don't talk about it that much.
Mm.
But I had like my dark night where I was going to commit suicide, and it wasn't like a little thought. It was like I'd planned this for weeks. Here's what I'm going to give to this friend. Here's what I'm going to give to this person. I'm going to leave this letter so everybody knows what they have of mine as a memento. You know, here's my hard drive. Someone get my material and put it out there. Like, I was ready. I was like, how do I do this to least affect my family?
Wow. And was that the pain, or do you think it was the drugs?
It was the pain.
The pain. Okay.
Yeah. It was the unrelenting physical pain that you wake up and it's the first thing you feel. Mm. And it's all you feel. It clouds absolutely everything in your life. Mm. And I was ready to do that. And I got my disability certificate that came in that said, it's from the government. And it said, okay, you're approved for disability for life. And I was like, fuck. Like, shit just got real.
This is it. And someone just told you this is it.
Yeah, you're done. And my one doctor was like, don't read the reports that are attached. I don't listen. I read the reports and none of them were good. Mm. It was all degenerative and, you know, things that aren't going to get better. A lot of degenerative was in the whole thing. And I was approved, which is apparently really hard to get disability for life. So now I'm going to get $600 a month for my whole life forever. And that's it. That's my cap. I'm done. And I always say it's like Denzel Washington was in my head. I just heard him, like some Remember the Titans style. And he's like, it's not time to give up. It's time to get up. And I like heard him in my head.
Really?
Yeah.
You really heard Denzel?
I swear to God, Washington was in my head. And I was like, oh, fuck. If I don't pull myself out of this, I'm done.
Mm.
And my dad actually yelled at me. And he had never yelled at me like in my life. He's a pretty chill dude, just hilarious kind of guy. And he came over and he was like, so this is it? You're done? And I was like, well, Dad, I get the form and it says that I can't do this. And he's like, all right, well, fine, you're done. He's like, all these dance lessons, all these things, all the things you've done. He's like, I had cancer. My dad survived cancer, like bad. He had MS. He had 3 little kids and couldn't have a job because he had MS. He's like, I've gone through all this shit, but you're just done. Okay, fine, fuck it, you're done. And he had never sworn either. And he like slammed the door on my house and left. And I was so mad at him for yelling at me. I was just like, well, fuck everybody, I'm getting better. And I just like, I
you
just had this.
You knew what you needed to hear.
Yeah. That's definitely why I coach people the way I do it too.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think you need to find your fuck you moment and say fuck you back to either me or you or whatever you're going through or the thing that they put you through. You need that fuck you moment. And that fuck you moment is going to change your life.
I love
that. So I said fuck you to my injuries, to the friends who left me when I needed them, to my agent who wanted me to pretend I'm somebody I'm not and sent me down this direction of getting in this car accident. And the universe was like, bitch, stop. Like, I took the little tiny bit of money I had, which was literally scraping it out of my couch. And I went and bought a Louise Hay book. I took myself on a date to a bookstore, bought a Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. I'd never bought anything like that in my life before. I bought a candle and I bought something else from Hay House. And I went home and I'm like, okay, I don't know how to do this, but we're going to do this. And I started every day just cutting out anything negative, anything that made me feel shitty. I used to watch a lot of CSI. I'm like, no, I'm not watching other people suffer anymore. It makes me tense. I cut out the news. I cut out people who would only tell me bad news when I saw them.
Yeah.
I told the doctors they weren't allowed to tell me bad news anymore. And I was like, appreciate it, but if you tell this to me, I'm switching doctors. And they were like, what? And I was like, I don't want to hear it. And I switched doctors.
Wow.
Yeah. I switched to this one doctor who was like, he's the first person who said that he could get me better in like 8 years. He's like, do you believe me? And I'm like, I do. Let's go. He's like, will you do anything I say? I'm like, anything you say, let's fucking do this. And I started doing nerve block injections. And I listened to him when he said, the bad days don't mean that the good days aren't coming. And I was like, that is so important.
That's a good quote. Like, yeah.
He's like, you're going to have a great day. Because you get, do you know what nerve blocks are?
No.
Okay. They're crazy painful, helpful, but they take a giant needle, usually like a Japanese needle because they're thin, that big, and it's full of local anesthetic, which is what you get like at the dentist to freeze you. And then they go into your nerves and they inject little bits of that throughout your nerves. So you know what it feels like to get a needle into your flesh.
Yeah.
Now imagine a needle into your nerve.
Mm.
Yeah. I say it turned me into an X-Men. Because when you're already in this level of pain, and then you have to walk into this warehouse style, because that's what I had to go to, a warehouse style, still not fully, you know, high level, everyone's doing it, medical stuff.
Yeah.
It was a little shady where I went.
Okay.
And they're like, you know, checking your pulse. They're like, hey, you're probably going to go into shock. Are you ready? You good? I'm like, yeah. Like, it does something to you.
Oh, shit.
And I had to be, like, mentally prepared.
And you had to do this more than once.
Oh, yeah. I had to do it over and over and over for years.
Well, I remember when we did this ice bath.
Yeah.
It was, like, a 30-degree ice bath with a lot of people around. And I did it before you. And I got in there and I was like, fuck this.
And you got in there reaction.
And you were just like,
boom. Yep.
Boom. Like, I think you stayed in 5 minutes. Without changing the look on your face.
Yeah, I don't flinch. And it's because of, I've been through so much extreme pain in my life. Physical, emotional, you know, mental, spiritual. The spiritual pain that I had during that time too. It's like, God, why? What the fuck? You know, like, I went to church. I did the shit I'm supposed to do. Like,
where's this Jesus dude?
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah.
I actually found my faith again after all this. But I went through so much pain that pain just doesn't affect me the same way other people do. And I think that's why I'm so good at doing controversial viral videos, because I'm like, this little typey, sorry, bitch, like that doesn't hurt me. I have giant needles in my nerves. I've been hit by cars. I've been in car accidents more than once, by the way. Mm. I had injuries so bad that I couldn't have lights on. And I couldn't see, and there was darkness rolling in, and like, I couldn't find words. That was the scariest part. When you're in your head and you know what you want to say, but you can't say it, it's fucked.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like you're in a different body. So I'm like, I've just been in so much pain. The pain just doesn't affect me the same way now.
It's
really weird. I'm telling you, it's like some X-Men shit happened to me. But then that's when you get your superpowers. Every superhero.
I was talking about it, like, it's, you know, the obstacles are strength opportunities. It's an opportunity to build your muscle.
Yeah. And I would watch motivational, inspirational, and spiritual content from the second I would wake up to the second I went to bed every day. Like, I would tell people at least 4 videos, but it was really like 40. It was like all day. That's all I would listen to.
You were programming. Yeah. You were reprogramming. And I love how you took away everything negative.
Yep.
And only put in this positive and things that were moving you towards where you wanted to be.
Yeah.
Nothing that would slow you down at all.
Nothing.
That's so great.
I had sticky notes all over my whole house that said things like, you're getting better. Mm-hmm. You look better every day. You can eat today, because I couldn't eat for a long time. You feel awesome. You look awesome. Today's better than yesterday.
Shit works.
It's the first time I'd ever done anything like that. And people thought I was crazy. People in my life. I'm from a blue collar family. They've never heard of anything like that before. And I was like, well, you pray. What do you think praying is? And like, I'm just praying all over the place.
Yeah.
And it was written on my mirrors. And let me tell you, I wrote 100,000 at first subscribers when I posted my first YouTube videos. And then I have a video of me when I got that plaque for getting 100,000 subscribers. And I shone it up to the mirror. And I was like, there it is. And then I would erase it. And I put the next thing I wanted.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, affirmations work, as you know.
That's amazing. Like, I love how you started your career comeback from the bed, too.
Yeah.
And so...
Oh, there's just this, like, there's this thing in me now where I sat and I watched the world suffering. I know it sounds really weird, but I couldn't go out. So I would go on the internet and I would see what people were upset about on Twitter, on Facebook. There wasn't a lot of Instagram then. And I'm like, people are full of shit. We cause our own suffering because we're liars. We're full of shit in relationships, in friendships, at work, in sex, in everything. We're lying to ourselves, and that's why we're in pain. And I just felt like I like tuned into that more. And I was like, I made a deal with God. I don't know what you believe in, but I believe in God. And I made a deal. And I said, if you let me come back, I promise I'll bring as many people as I can with me. And I started getting better. And I was like, one day I made a list of all the topics that I think people are lying about and that we're not really being honest about. And then I just started nailing them. And one after another. And I made it like my hit list. It was my hit list, but it was like a baseball lineup.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, like you'll probably like this from copywriting. I was like, I'm going to do this video because I'm going to knock it out of the park, the first one, just to get people's attention. And then I'm going to hit a single, and then a double, then I'm going to bunt just to load my bases because I know when I pop out Dear Fat People, it's going to knock them all around. And that's exactly what I did. And I was like, what are the things that we're all too scared to talk about? I'm going to talk about that because I got to come back.
Yeah.
And before, I was too scared to talk about this shit. Yeah. I meant it then,
yeah,
but I really mean it now. So fuck it, I'm going all in. What's the worst that can happen? I'm gonna get hit by a car, been there. Like, you know what I mean? I lost that fear. And I had a doctor from the head injury clinic be like, Nicole, you're just saying these things because you don't have that filter because of where you hit your head. And I'm like, yeah. I was like, no, I mean it.
You're like, you don't know what I did my high school prospectus on.
Exactly. He really was trying to warn me. He's like, I've seen this a lot. People swear a lot after head injuries like yours. They do this. I'm like, no, like this is me. And I think I had to hit my head hard enough to remember who I am.
The fog, yeah.
Yeah.
So, the fog of society.
Yeah. And
amazing.
That's what happened. And that's where I've gone from there. And like there's marketing and different things that came into it as well. But it all came from me just going, I don't really like that. Or that's cool. Or you're lying.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Why are you lying to my face? I think that lying to someone's face is the biggest form of disrespect. And when I see people doing it on a global scale, I'm like, oh, fuck you. Let me just say, like, on behalf of everybody, fuck yourself. I see what you're doing. So, yeah, you've probably seen some of my videos where I do that.
I have. Yes, yeah. I have. Yeah. So what advice would you give people on how to be more authentic and honest, if not with everyone else, but with themselves?
It's really simple. We all have that little ding in our heads.
Yeah.
We have it, but we stop listening. So go somewhere quiet by yourself, and a yes or a no will come to you instantly. Do I like this kind of water? Yep. Oh, hey, little bug. There's a little bug on my face. Welcome to the interview. Just listen for the ding, and don't go against it. Because our gut feelings are real. I know that you know this, but our guts will always tell us what's right or wrong. I knew that those pills were not good for me, and I took them because some doctor told me to. No, my ding went off, and it said, no, don't do that. So literally just put your hand like this and go, do I want to date this person? No, I didn't. Nope, I don't. Does this outfit make me happy to wear to this event? Yeah, okay, do it. Stop being a pussy. Do what your body and what your soul, your vibe told you to do and go from there. Because that's when we get in all these shitty situations. And I think back in my life to every shitty situation I've been in, it's all my fault.
Like, you didn't listen to the ding.
I didn't listen to the ding. It's 100% my fault. It's your fault. It's our faults. And when we can be cool with that and be like, okay, what role did I play in this shitty play? Then you can actually change it.
Love that.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And your content is on fire. I remember the Dear Fat People.
Yeah.
Dear Fat People. Some people are already really mad at this video. What are you going to do, fat people? What are you going to do?
I remember my wife, who's a health coach that helps people with body image issues, showed me that. And she's like, I'm feeling this. I can't repost it. Yeah. But I'm feeling
this. But isn't that funny? Like, isn't that funny that she can't repost it? But it's like, all of my favorite comedians growing up, like I was a little kid who liked George Carlin. That's not normal. Like a little girl, I carried around Brain Droppings, the book, and I still have it. I have it framed. I thought he was hilarious because he was saying this stuff that was real.
He was telling it like it was.
Exactly.
Like, more than anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why aren't we doing that?
Yeah.
People, they need to make changes here. We're full of shit.
Yeah.
Why are we being polite? It's murdering people. So the number one reason that people are dying in North America and in the UK is obesity. It's above guns. We're all worried about the guns and get rid of the guns. Get rid of the McDonald's. You pieces of shit.
Yes.
You're lying.
Yes.
You like, if you care about people, then go to the top of the list and then go down.
Right. Get rid of the number one killer.
Yeah, the number one killer. But that's not going to happen because they make a lot of money off it. And then it goes from the guns. Sorry, it goes.
McDonald's doesn't want people. McDonald's loves the people like that say, let's be okay with obesity and
let's not
body shame. McDonald's loves that because when you eat McDonald's, you ain't exactly, you know,
it's addictive,
like feeding your slim jeans.
No, like, there's no skinny jeans in McDonald's correlation whatsoever.
Yeah.
But I remember that video. I've said this before, but I had a little ending on it that I took off at the last second where I said, as someone who spent this many years in bed, disabled, and just wishing that I had a body that worked, how dare you? Take care of yours. Like, you only get one, and when it's done, it's done.
Mm.
So that was like my main motive for making that whole video.
Yeah.
But I took it off because I knew I had to be the villain. They had to be able to hate me for it to go viral. And I was like, fuck it. My whole life, I tried to make people like me.
Oh, because that would have made it feel like,
too
hey,
soft.
I've been there?
Yeah, it would have softened it too much.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, the last second I took it out, and then I remember going, post.
And you were okay with being the villain because you knew that controversy.
I had to. It was a really cool moment. I've done it a few times where I'm like, my whole life, like especially women, we're taught be likable. You know, as the cheerleader, as you'd be happy, you'd be likable, you'd be friendly.
Right.
Even if people are mean to you, you'd be nice to them back.
Mm-hmm.
And your goal is to make everybody like you. Number one, that's bullshit because then you're going to be fake because everyone's not going to like you.
Yes.
So you start to tailor yourself and try and be what you think people will like. And
totally.
I was definitely doing that. And you're not being authentic. And you're going to attract people that aren't supposed to be in your world.
Because wow. And everyone does it.
Everyone does it. So I just had this moment. I'm like, it's like my dark Batman kind of thing. I'm like, what if I didn't care? Gung, gung, gung. What if I didn't give a fuck if some people didn't like me? Whoa. Send. Like,
so fascinating.
It was nuts. I've said it before, but it's a ride that most people will never go on in their life. And it was really cool. It was really cool. Because so many people got so scared. And they got scared for me. They're like, people don't like you. I'm like, so what? And they're like, what do you mean, so what? Like, you're supposed to want everybody to like you. And I'm like, who said that's the goal? I'm happy that this was the truth. So why can't I tell
who
the truth?
Said that's the goal.
Yeah.
And your goal has been truth. Let's be real truth. You know, it's fascinating to me too because I work with doctors who have put out books.
Yeah.
And one of the doctors I work with is very controversial. His name's Dr. Stephen Gundry.
Okay.
And I get to see his work and all the people whose lives he's saved. And his book has been a huge success, you know, sold hundreds of thousands of copies.
Amazing.
About 5 to 10% of the reviews on all of his books were 1 and 2 star. And I was like, wait a second. I've seen this thing work for people. How can people hate this enough to be a 1 star?
Yeah.
And so I started putting in other big selling authors like Rachel Hollis, who you might know, who is very no BS, really powerful message.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One star, 2 star, 3 star reviews for about 5 to 10% of the people who take the time to review it.
Yep.
So that means like 1 out of 10 people hates this work. That's some of the best-selling work of the last decade. I think she's the biggest selling self-help how-to author besides Michelle Obama.
Dope.
In the last like 3 or 4 years.
Dope.
10% of the people who read her books hate them.
That's fine.
Many people fucking love them and have had their lives changed.
And I'm sure that she hit that moment and I hit the moment where it's like, I don't care. I don't care.
Oh, and she's
some
the one person I've heard that
like
says,
me.
Yeah, she says, I do not read any of my reviews ever.
Oh, cool.
She says her husband reads them.
Interesting.
But she just refused to read them. She just, a few years ago, she just decided she would stop reading them completely.
Smart.
And just say what she wants.
I like it. See, here's something I wasn't ready for, was the press. I didn't know that the press lied. I know that sounds so gullible and Canadian of me, but I didn't realize that they would make things up.
And the extent that they will.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
and then
crazy.
When it was about me, I was just, it's like I lost faith in humanity.
Mm.
I was like, you know that this is untrue. This, whatever it was. I was told that I was fired from a movie I was never part of. I was told I beat up a guy, never happened. I was told, like, there was just so many fake rumors that my Dear Fat People video, I was talking about a guy on an airplane. It's a bit.
Okay.
I made it up. And there, a guy came forward as the man from the airplane. I'm like,
there was no man.
There's no man. I made it up, dude. I was like, what flight were you on? What flight were we on together? Let's just figure this out. And he gave a date, and I'm like, that's funny, because I was disabled and in bed during that time, but cool. Like, it was really fucked up for me to see that and to see how the press would take a little thing and spin it mm-hmm. and then decide you're either a hero or a villain at any given time. And you're either hot or you're not. And they put you in that spectrum, and then they decide what you are. And if you believe them, you're fucked.
Well, you know what's so interesting about this?
Go on.
Is that polarization that people do.
Yeah.
Which I think Donald Trump is the best example.
Oh, he's great.
The polarization is what makes your fans love you more.
Yep.
And it makes the haters hate you more than they did before.
Yeah.
And the people who are at the top of their space, in many spaces, will like use that to their advantage. Donald Trump uses it more than anyone.
He's really good at it.
But the media uses that to get eyeballs, aka clickbait.
Yep.
They try to print headlines that are very polarizing to get clicks.
So I started doing it back to them.
So yeah.
Fuck you. Here's my next title, because I know you're going to pick it up. Dumbass. Sure, spin the wheel for me. I just made this much money off it, because you're dumb enough to pick it up. Like, to the ones specifically, I started playing the game right back to them.
Mm.
And I would have anonymous people send things to the people that I knew wrote shit about me and be like, I can't believe Nicole Arbour just posted this and sent me a new video. And then I let them blow it up myself.
Like, oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I actually fed a video to a whole bunch of YouTubers that I know they're not good people. They're just drama.
Okay.
And they love drama.
Okay.
And I had my video fed specifically to them to let them blow up my video.
By like fake fans or like, oh my God, that's so great.
I'm like, go for it.
That's so great.
You're going to talk shit about me anyway. I might as well let you do it.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's also these YouTuber pods that when they would make up fake news about me, the YouTuber agents would email all the YouTubers. They accidentally sent it to me one time and said, hey, this was just written about Nicole. Quick, do a response video to it. Because they know it'll get a lot of views.
Whoa.
And it makes them money.
Oh,
and they sent it to me one time, and I'm like, hey, F you know me. You know that's not true. And you're about to get all these big YouTubers to do videos about it when you know it's not reality.
They're just trying to hit that polarization paycheck.
Yep, just the paycheck.
Wow.
So I'm really cognizant of it now. Like, I can see it, and I can,
I loved what you did when you put out this video that was an expose on yourself.
Yeah.
And you had just put out some very controversial videos.
Yeah.
And so you knew a lot of eyeballs were on you and people were trying to take you down.
Yeah.
And you basically did the 8 Mile move.
I did. I played that while I was editing it too. I was like, okay, what can people say about me that they're going to try and hurt me, my reputation, my life with? I don't give a shit. I'll say it myself.
Yeah.
Like,
and what I mean by that for people who haven't seen 8 Mile is Eminem in the movie is in a rap battle.
Yep.
And he's the only white guy. And he's been kind of like punked by this other crew.
Yeah.
And one of them like slept with his girlfriend. And
beat up his friend. His friend shot himself.
Yeah. He lives in a trailer.
Yeah.
And then he comes up in the rap battle. You're supposed to talk shit.
Yeah.
And he does the whole shit talking about himself. He's like, I do live in a trailer with my mom.
Yep.
You guys did fuck my girl, but I'm still standing here saying fuck the free world.
Yeah. I love that so much.
Yeah. So
I
that was like so awesome when you put that out.
I was just like,
you just
fuck
pulled
it.
All the wind out of all the trash talker sales.
Yeah.
Like, you had nothing to hide. You just showed it.
And I don't. That's the fun part. It's like,
because you've been through so much, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
and if people could take something from my stories and what I've been through, hey, I'm still here. Because millions.
You're still fucking here.
Millions
yes.
of people said awful shit about me, and I got to make the decision to not care. It's a decision.
Mm.
You know, I love Taylor Swift because I love seeing everything she's been through, what they've said about her, especially since she was like 16. And she's turned 30 a couple days ago or yesterday, depending on when this airs.
Yeah.
And she's still going. All you have to do is keep going and you beat them. And that's it.
That's right.
So that if people are talking shit at work, in your family, on the internet, you choose to put it in or you choose to go, keep going.
Yeah.
Because hurt people.
Yeah.
So nobody writing this to you is happy.
Yeah.
So if you can take that in and be like, okay, well, they're there, I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand why you wrote that. That's fine. You don't have to take it in. And there's this weird...
You don't have to take it in. I love that.
Yeah.
What would you say? You know, I have a lot of audience also that are in high school that are dealing with bullies at school and people talking trash to their face.
Yep.
Or doing, you know, different type of shaming things. Yep. Have you ever had to deal with that? Or do you have any advice for people who are trying to deal with that type of thing in school?
I was totally bullied in school too.
Okay.
And there's like... a funny thing that people meet me, they're like, oh, you're probably the popular girl in high school. I'm like, no, I wasn't. I was a nerd who happened to be the head cheerleader.
Okay.
And I was bullied all the time. And a girl actually wrote me recently. I posted it on my Instagram. She wrote me an apology. The girl who had her locker close to mine. And she apologized. And if it's happening in school, if there's a physical confrontation going on, I recommend Gracie's Jiu-Jitsu. I think straight up, I think everyone should have basic understanding of self-defense.
Self-defense, I agree.
And I think Gracie's is the best in the world at it.
Yep.
And, you know, get in there, okay. Or you can take the courses online.
Okay.
If it's
What if they're not going to choke them out?
If they're not going to choke them out, it's good to know, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's just the verbal stuff, if we're like this, every time they take a hit at you, it goes like this. Okay. Then you better go like this and fill it up with something good. So... that night you go home, you listen to some affirmations. You listen to something that makes you feel good. You listen to, you know, people around you who make you feel good. If your friends don't make you feel good, if it's your friends talking shit, those are not your friends.
Yeah.
There's this weird dynamic that we think our friends are allowed to be mean to us.
Yeah, I had that growing up, but my friends were some of the biggest haters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Mm-hmm. And
I kept hanging out with them.
Same.
Made me miserable.
Because you think you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that's not friendship.
Yes.
Or a relationship. If your partner's being mean to you, that's not the partner for you. So clear your friend group. I always say, like, you know, only have good people around you. And if you are being bullied, just know it's coming from, they're abused at home.
Totally.
Someone's treating them poorly.
Yeah.
Like, nobody naturally is born and wants to be mean to people like that. So if they're treating you like that, they're getting it way worse at home.
Yeah.
And just know that.
Compassion for them.
Yeah. And I was taught something really cool the other day, that if this was used in negotiation techniques with like terrorists and, you know, people like that, hostage situations. Introduce yourself. Like, hi, I'm Nicole. The second that you humanize yourself, it makes it a lot harder for a bully, a kidnapper, a terrorist to want to terrorize you.
So true. So many of the people that talk shit on my Instagram, they say, oh, he does this.
Yeah.
You know, funny that he does it. They don't say, you, Craig, are doing something funny with your face, or you, Craig, look like a Cro-Magnon man, or whatever. They just say, like, he looks like this, you know? And I'm like, hey, I'm right here.
They don't realize you're a human.
Yeah.
So there's that, but I really, like, if I could go back into that time, because that, it was rough. Like, I really was bullied for so many years. Like, I ate food in the bathroom in grade 9, like, at lunchtime, because I, like, didn't want people to be mean to me for a long time. And if I could go back, it's like, well, they're hurt. Be more confident. It's cool. Everybody goes through the awkward phase. Everybody's fucking awkward.
Everyone's awkward.
If they're
hell.
Really cool, then they've already peaked, so don't worry about it.
That's so true, too.
It's true. If they're too cool in high school, like, that's it for them. That was it. So, and then fill yourself with good stuff after. All the songs you listen to, maybe it's Taylor Swift, Shake It Off. Maybe it's whatever. It's rock music where you're, like, losing your shit in your bedroom. Whatever's going to make you feel awesome, that's your battle, is to keep your vibe up. So if they are chipping away at you, make sure you're going back up. It's like just like a video game when you have the lives.
Do something nice for yourself.
Yeah.
Do a workout or
help, you know, somebody
treat
else.
Yourself to a good
It's so selfish
or,
helping other people.
Helping other people
it feels good.
I talk about that too, and that giving can be selfish.
Yeah.
Because you get so much out of it.
It's a way to
boost your own confidence.
Totally.
That you can go do really easily by just going and like spending some time talking to homeless people who don't get attention, or going down the street and putting quarters in people's parking meters that are about to expire.
I love that game.
That's how you get
to
build your own self-esteem
and no one can take it from you.
Positivity.
Yeah.
While helping the world out. It's such a win-win.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that game. We should play those games together.
I'm down.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would suggest those things for people being bullied. And the thing about, I have a bit of a controversial view on bullying as well. Is that we don't need anti-bullying programs. We need confidence-building programs.
Yes.
That's it's the opposite of bullying is an anti-bullying. It's knowing that you're fucking awesome. So anyone that's coming at me with anything that isn't awesome, it's because they see how awesome I am. That's what we need to teach kids.
Love that.
And I think it would really change the dynamic of kids in school if we stopped teaching them anti-bullying and made it like, I'm dope. Here's my skills. Here's what I'm good at. You know what I mean?
How are they not teaching that in school right now?
I don't know.
Along with things like leadership and financial management.
Meditation. Yeah. How to do your taxes.
Yeah.
I can protract, but I can't do taxes. Whatever. Totally useful. Thanks, school. Yeah. Those are my thoughts on that one.
Love it. Love
it. Yeah.
And so you've been a social media powerhouse getting all of these views on all of your stuff. I mean, your content's fucking amazing.
Thank you, friend.
And I know that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Do you have advice for people who want to put their own content out there and start to make an impact and make people laugh and get eyeballs?
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes those initial eyeballs are hard to get.
Agreed. My biggest tip, stop trying to imitate somebody else. It's fucking awkward. It's obvious.
Yeah.
Your acting isn't that good, or you'd be an actress or an actor. Stop it. Like, come to the table as you. Maybe it means stop watching so much of other people's content for a while until you can focus. Like, when I'm writing stand-up, I won't watch other comedians. I don't want to accidentally be influenced.
So true.
And that's the biggest issue that I see with people starting content creation of any kind, is they're trying to imitate. And of course you can take, you know, tips and, oh, I kind of like the way they do that. But there's this artificial thing going on where everyone on YouTube sounds the same now. Hey guys, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, did you talk like that before, or are you being a YouTuber now? And same on Facebook, same everywhere. It's a lot of imitation.
Oh,
and how are you going to stand out when you're trying to blend in? It doesn't, it doesn't make any sense.
So you and I have a mutual friend, Brendan Burchard.
Yeah.
And Brendan does amazing personal growth events.
Yep.
And obviously, Tony Robbins has been a leader in that space for a long time.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Brendan about this, and he said, you know, when I'm designing one of my new programs, I just make sure I just don't look at Tony's stuff. I don't look like at any of his programs or books or content.
Nice.
Because Tony's stuff is really great.
Yep.
And he doesn't want it to subconsciously influence anything
just
he does. He wants to make sure it's all Brendan.
Yep.
All from his heart.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just pick up things subconsciously.
That's the Robin Williams effect. Have you heard about that?
No.
So Robin Williams was kind of famous for it, that he would accidentally do another comic's bit on stage.
And do you feel he really didn't do it on purpose?
I don't think he did it on purpose at all. Actually, one of my teachers in comedy school had this whole bit about golf. And the Millennium special came out, the 2000s Robin Williams special came out. His golf bit was in it.
I saw that golf bit. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
wow.
There was a discussion had about that.
Wow.
And he didn't mean to do it.
Yeah.
He just, like, when you hear so much, you don't remember if it's your idea or not.
You really
and
don't.
He's the brain so frenetic. He just like
tough time distinguishing sometimes.
Yeah. And you know, a little bit of cocaine in there too. You know, you can't distinguish.
Right,
Some people just write a check and then you pay them for the bit. So that stuff happens. That's cool that Brendan does that.
Yeah.
I do that. And then also for content creation, who are you? Why the fuck are you trying to talk to me? What are you trying to say to me? If you don't know who you are going into it, then no one else should care who you are. So make a list. Say, I'm Nicole Arbour. I believe this. I don't believe that. I like this. I don't like that. I would do this. I wouldn't do that. And just figure out who you are as a brand. And I like to go for like three lines. If my content doesn't make you laugh, cheer, or wait, I want to make people laugh, cheer, or teach you something. That's what I always want to do.
Laugh, cheer, or teach.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I don't hit on that, then I don't post it.
Yeah. And notice that she didn't say cry or anger or anything. You pick three.
Yeah.
You're not trying to be like, you know, 10 things. You pick three things.
Three things.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great way to start those three things. And
pick the three emotions or feelings or reactions you want someone to have. Just three.
Yes. I want to laugh if you watch my shit. I want to make you cheer, or I want to make you learn. So teach them something.
Gotcha. And do you try to do one of the three or all three in each piece?
At least one.
At least one.
Some of them will go into multiples, but it has to be in those. And if sometimes I've posted things and been like, nope, delete that. It doesn't hit it hard enough. It's not in my thing of who I want Nicole Arbour to be.
Mm.
And I think everyone should start by doing that.
Yeah. Awesome.
What are yours? What would yours be?
To put content out there?
Yeah.
I would say, think about the audience and what their fears, frustrations, hopes, dreams, and desires are.
Yep.
And think about your message and how you're going to speak your message that is going to help them.
Cool.
Because at the end of the day, sad to say, no one actually gives a fuck about your message. They want to improve their lives.
Right? That's
they
something
want
I think
to know
miss.
What's in it for me. And yeah. We live in a society of scrolling.
Yep.
You know, the average American sees 4,000 ads in a day. And that's just advertisements. Who knows how many regular posts they see. And if you're going to grab attention in today's age of distraction, you need to speak to what the scroller wants.
Yep.
You need to make them stop. And they're not going to stop for any reason other than a selfish one, other than what is in this for me?
Yeah.
And what is in it for them could be entertainment. You could be damn fucking entertaining.
Yep.
But
you can have a booty that does not quit and that, it shakes that, really well.
That can be something in it for them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And that doesn't mean tailor your content to what people want to hear. It means think about what is the connection between how you're going to serve them and what they're looking for.
Yep.
And then think about how to link those things together.
Yeah.
So you probably have seen some of my content that I put out there
on
Instagram now.
Yeah.
And some of it will be a really captivating story that is usually a story I've found somewhere else.
Cool.
That I love the lesson behind and is really engaging. And then I will share an additional lesson or how to apply the lesson in the story.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like it's like, I love your little bites. I feel like I'm just getting a little learning bite.
Thanks.
And I feel good about it. And I'm like, ah, yeah, that's a thing or a reminder that I needed. Okay, go team. Like,
yeah,
a little coach moment.
Awesome. Thank
it's
you.
Fun.
Yeah. So the story is the bridge.
Yeah.
Because people are scrolling around and they don't know who I am.
Yes.
And they're not going to stop. They see my talking head. It's not going to make them stop. And there's so many words around there.
I don't know. Your new haircut's pretty awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
But there's so many words out there. Even the best words on top might not make them stop either.
Yep.
You know, I'm still going to try to write captivating words on top, but it might not make them stop. But the human brain loves stories.
Yeah.
So I would also suggest to anyone that if you're going to start with putting out some type of content, start it with a story. It can be your own story. It can be someone else's story.
That's like a great
speech. It can be like a fable or something that is a social happening.
Yeah.
And then put your content in as the lesson that they're going to learn after getting that brain fix, because the human brain loves stories.
I love stories too. Yeah. I love stories.
You just got me on a rant.
No, it's great. I love rants. I love pulling them out of people too.
And awesome.
You just made me think of have an opinion.
Have a fucking opinion.
We're in an age where it's like we're scared to have opinions in case somebody doesn't like our opinion. Well, that's not your customer, so who the fuck cares?
That's right. It's not your customer. Don't be afraid.
Not your customer. Not your viewer. Not your whatever. Yeah, have an opinion. And that was comedy 101 at comedy school. Like when I think about the lessons I learned there, at the time some of them were just annoying and redundant.
Okay.
But now I'm like, wow. My teacher was a bit of a psycho to me. My stand-up teacher. Thank you, Larry Horowitz. He would give me a piece of newspaper and he would time us. So you get 10 minutes and you have to pull whatever the newspaper was. You have 10 minutes to write 3 jokes from that paper.
Mm.
He'd give me the freaking ads or he'd give me the classified section or the hardest one. He's like, you have 10 minutes to write 10. And I'd be like, you asshole. But I didn't know he was like pushing me to do it.
Yeah.
And then when it came to joke writing, it's always you start with an attitude. So coffee. Do I love it? Do I hate it? Does it make me shit? Like, what is my opinion on coffee? If you don't have an opinion, you don't have a joke. You don't have a post. Coffee, that's not a post. That's just nothing.
Right.
So you have
you're doing
to
the same thing everyone
opinion.
Else is doing is showing off the foam in your latte or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're
have
like, fuck Starbucks, people are like, okay, I want to see this.
Yeah. Or I love this, or I hate that, or this makes me feel this way. Have an opinion.
Yeah, or very strong opinion, you know?
Yeah.
Like why Starbucks is the single greatest place on the entire, like, LA landscape.
Yeah,
you know,
because you've
be
been
like,
nowhere else.
Who is this person thinking Starbucks is so great?
Yeah.
I need to read this.
Yeah, or like, I totally disagree with that. I'm reading this to
yes. They want to, people read things to disagree.
Totally.
People enjoy disagreeing.
Yep.
And they can't, disagree with you unless you have an opinion.
Exactly.
People also love to agree, but they can't agree with you if you don't have an opinion. So
and
I
people
love
get
that.
So scared.
Have an opinion.
Have an opinion.
Love that.
People get so scared of people having a different opinion as them.
Yes.
That's silly. Put your fucking ego
humanity.
Down.
That's humanity. That's the
cares?
Beauty of life is having discussions and from different opinions.
Yeah, it's great. Good. If we didn't agree on something earlier, like a certain technique for social media, that's cool. Like, I learn from your opinion, you learn from mine, and it's fine. I feel that way with politics.
Yeah.
I refuse to pick a side in American politics because I'm like, I'm purple pill. And that allows me to listen to both sides mm-hmm. and to actually make a decision on each, you know, issue as it goes down.
Yeah.
Not joining a team and we only do this, we only do that. And then I can have all the opinions I want.
There it is.
It's more fun.
Yeah. So what's next for you, Nicole? Yeah, the
that's
the zillion-dollar
question. My podcast. Yeah.
No
the
way.
Arbor,
is it
Arbor Effect?
The Arbor Effect.
The Arbor Effect. It's starting in January.
Okay.
I'm very excited. There's little bite-sized morsels, and then there's the longer versions as well. And so it's podcast, and I'm working on a bunch of projects. Go Team Academy is amazing.
You're releasing courses now.
Yeah.
So exciting.
I love it.
Yeah. It's called Go Team Academy.
GoTeamAcademy.com. Okay. Our first graduating class, the things that, like, their lives have changed measurably, every single fucking person. So I almost didn't want to promote the course or the school, it's my little X-Men school, until I had results to prove it. So we had our first batch in May, mm-hmm. and I'm talking, we have people who've changed careers and are super happy. We had people who were first responders in 9/11. Who had major blocks emotionally, mindset-wise. Their life is so different.
So it's personal development you're teaching.
Personal development.
It's not teaching comedy. It's teaching people life.
It's life class. It's
Sweet.
Personal development. I would say it's Oprah meets Gary Vee meets Joe Rogan.
Love it.
There we go. With a bunch of business in it because Danelle Delgado, who's known as the Millionaire Maker, she's amazing at business and she's my partner in it. And she just... I come in with my sides, she comes in with her sides, and it's a great starter package for everybody who wants to level up in life. And then I'm not one of those people that's like, only listen to my shit. I think if you do Go Team Academy, it sets you up to be able to go anywhere else you want, maybe take a Brendan course, maybe take a whatever. Mm-hmm. But until you get those fundamentals and peel back all the shit that you've had put on you your whole life, you're not ready to level up. So then you're ready for everything else.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, hey.
So goteamacademy.com is that. You are at Nicole Arbor, A-R-B-O-U-R.
Yeah, on Twitter. Instagram is IB Nicole Arbor.
IB Nicole Arbor.
IB Nicole Arbor.
All right.
And Facebook is Nicole Arbor Fans. But you can find me on the internet. I'm all over the place.
You definitely are.
Yeah, lots of projects. All the projects. Stay tuned. Books and things and stuff I can't talk about yet.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Nicole, for being here.
Yeah, thanks for
having
me.
And sharing all of this fascinating parts of your journey.
Thanks.
That I know so many people are going to get so many valuable takeaways that they can use to make their own journeys bigger and brighter.
Yeah, keep
so
going, guys.
Being here.
Go team.
Oh, go Team Academy.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much for watching. If you want to hear a story that's even wilder than that one, click here. You only have 5 seconds, though. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!